Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Back here on The Bench, hour number two. If you guys want to jump in and chat it up with us, some NFL football, we can do that at 713-780-3776. At 713-780-3776, Chris Solis is in studio with me. Dell is back. And joining us right now is Adam Kaplan, longtime NFL expert and analyst, to talk about some issues going on in the league, and we'll obviously include our Houston Texans. What's going on, Adam? How you doing?
Good to talk to you, my friend. Yeah, it's week 17, and we got a lot of playoff spots on the line here. It's going to be fun. And then, of course, next week we've got the crazy coaching changes, which could be quite enormous. And hopefully I'm wrong on that, but not like what I'm hearing. I think there's going to be a lot of movement next week.
Yeah, let's start with that, because obviously the coach here, Bill O'Brien, there's thought. I've heard that a lot of people in the league think it's already a done deal, that Bill O'Brien will be gone. Bill O'Brien, it's funny, if you listen to his press conferences or read his transcripts, it's fairly cryptic. It went from, I want to be here, I want to be here. Then he was asked, not after this last game, but the game before, the loss prior by double digits, do you still want to be here? I am never going to quit. I will not quit. Like, well, that's not an answer to the question that was just asked. So, how many coaches do you think will be gone? And then, if Bill O'Brien is, do you have a couple names for us to keep an eye on here in Houston?
Yeah, so I've got up to 12. I had first said for weeks,
God,
I think
12.
Up to 10. But here's what happens, Lance. Here's what happens. Yeah, here's what happens around the league. So you've got front offices who complain about their coaches. Coaches feel like they're being scorned here. They're not being respected. There's a lot of angst and anger. And then the team president might comment down, the owner might comment down, and then these teams that are rumored to fire the coaches don't wind up firing coaches. And the other problem is when you talk about a coach being fired, it's money comes into it, because you have to pay off the coach who's got time left to his contract, and you have to hire a new head coach. So, like, you know, people are saying Jack Del Rio is going to be fired. We'll see if that happens. But Jack Del Rio signed a contract extension less than a year ago. So if you're walking away from, could be anywhere from $14 to $16 million, then you're going to have to pay someone else $14 to $20 million. So that money is a factor in this. Always is, always has been, always will be, each year when people speculate about coaches being fired. Now, the other question is, one team president said to me last week, and then the week before another guy said the same thing, where are you going to get all these candidates? And that to me is the problem. So if you're talking about moving on from Bill O'Brien, I could tell you this, they're going to hire a coach from the offensive side of the football if Bill's gone or traded or whatever happens, because last year, heavy speculation that some team may try to trade for him, as you know, or whatever term it is, to acquire the head coach.
I wonder if they'd still even consider that.
Well, consider it. If they're not going to come back with him, obviously you would consider it. I mean, because Bill's a talented guy, and you look at the job he did with Deshaun Watson, phenomenal job. I don't think people are like, all of a sudden, think like Deshaun Watson became a superstar before he got hurt just because he's talented. No, it's because he was managed right, and Bill called a great game. That's the word around the league, is Bill did a great job with him. But the record is what it is, and you look at the lack of success he's had before Deshaun Watson, so you could take it in a way you want. Then the next question, as you had it, who are the kind of candidates that would be out there? My sense is this group, like each year, it's generally weighted whether it's defensive head coaches are hired or offensive. My sense is it's going to be mostly offense. Whether it's going to be Josh McDaniels, is Josh McDaniels willing to even leave? He's got a great thing going in New England. You know, remember, he turned down the opportunity to be the Niners head coach. He interviewed, he took his name out of it. He would have been the Niners head coach, but he decided to wait. John DeFilippo, the quarterbacks coach of the Eagles, who's done a, I mean, Josh has done about as good of a job as you can of managing quarterbacks and managing a room, and done a great job. Did a great job as the Browns offensive coordinator a couple years ago. So I think DeFilippo would be a guy that people are going to talk about. I think when we talk about defensive coaches, Matt Patricia, the defensive coordinator for the Patriots, I think he's going to have an opportunity to be head coach. I don't think there's any question about it. I think that's going to come up. I think both coordinators for the Patriots are guys that people are talking about. And then Jim Schwartz is the defense coordinator for the Eagles, who did. You know what? I know Jim Schwartz's record was not very good with the Lions, but, folks, he brought the Lions to the playoffs, which, let's face it, over the last 25 years hasn't happened very much. So I think Schwartz is a guy that people are going to talk about.
So you've got – you mentioned four hires, four possible hires, and two of our retreads with McDaniels and Schwartz.
You're right, but when you talk retread, I think you got to be careful. This is not North Turner, who had been a head coach four or five times. The guy was a head coach once, you know, talking 8 years ago when he was 32 years old, when he had too much responsibility.
Right.
But I get your point. I know fans, the reaction is, oh, not that guy again. Well, listen, Josh is a pretty special coach when it comes to offensive football. He's kind of in that Kyle Shanahan, unbelievable manager of quarterbacks, a great schemer of offense. I think Josh will be better prepared the second time around because he was not ready when he became the coach, I think, at 32 years old.
No, and I heard that he basically has admitted to people privately that he tried to be something he wasn't. He tried to be Bill Belichick. He tried to be surly. I think he knows, from what I understand, talking to people who are tight with him, they said he's not the guy that you think he is from Denver because he just completely – you know, he just completely tried to be something he wasn't. And the second time around, much like with Bill Belichick, maybe, it might be different for him.
Right. And Lance, he had personnel control, yeah, and he was the head coach, which is absurd at 32 years old. That was a stupid mistake.
And he was 32?
Yeah.
And how old is McVay?
Sean, he turned 31 like a week after he signed his contract. But the thing, McVay, it doesn't have anything to do with personnel, and then he'll give his opinion. And Sean is... And then look, when you have Wade Phillips as your D coordinator, and boy, do you think the Broncos regret letting Wade go? What a dumb move that was.
Yeah.
Wade still got it. He's guy's unbelievable. I mean, it's a great story. But there are going to be other coaches. David Shaw, the Stanford head coach, who coached in the NFL before. Every year he says, I don't want to leave.
What did David Shaw coach with?
He actually was an assistant, a very low-level assistant. I think with the – he was an assistant with the Ravens. He started his career with the Eagles.
Huh.
So Shaw has said he doesn't want to go back to the NFL because you know what? He controls his success there, and I got what he meant by it. Other coaching candidates, Mike Munchak, the offensive line coach with the Steelers, who, by the way, the reason why he was fired was not because he didn't do well. He was fired because he wouldn't fire some of his assistants, and that seems like, hey, go ahead, then fire me then. Pat Shurmur, the offensive coordinator for the Vikings. Talk about a guy who's done a phenomenal job. You got to be kidding me with the job that he's done with Case Keenum. Did a great job with Sam Bradford. Look at what happened last year when he took over for North Turner he had no time to prepare for it. Did a phenomenal job. So I think that's a group. And Matt Nagy, by the way, there's another guy you're going to hear about. Matt Nagy, the offense coordinator for the Chiefs, who Andy Reid handed the play calling over about 4 weeks ago, and he's done a phenomenal job.
Looking at the playoff scenario, Baltimore's in. I mean, they're not officially in, but they're 9-6, and they've got the Bengals, who look like they've opened up a can of quid on Marvin Lewis. And so I expect Baltimore to win that one. The Tennessee Titans are at home against Jacksonville. Is Jacksonville going to show up? Are they going to start their players? Like, they got hammered on the West Coast last week against San Francisco. Do they come in and make that a game in Tennessee? Tennessee in a must-win situation, but so are the L.A. Chargers and Buffalo Bills. Bills are at Miami, and the Chargers are at home against the Raiders. How do you think everything ultimately plays out?
Yeah, so I think with Jacksonville, Doug Marrone made it clear the starters are going to play, but I love when coaches talk tough when a game doesn't mean anything. There's no way that they're playing the whole game. I would bet you a week's salary that doesn't happen. I haven't asked them yet. I haven't got to that, but I've gotten to a couple teams about playing time and so forth. My sense is if he's going to do what teams usually do in this spot, when he thinks his players need the work, you know, obviously losing in San Francisco is not a good thing. I can't imagine they play more than a half. And by the way, with Leonard Fournette, I mean, he's had the quadriceps and ankle injury. He's got to be very careful there. Doug, and by the way, Doug Marone's certainly up for the running for head coach of the best coach.
Mm-hmm.
What a job he's done.
He has.
Mm-hmm. He's one of the three coaches for coach of the year that I'm looking at. But I can't imagine they'll play for more than a half. And then the Eagles have a situation where they already have the number one seed locked up, and they made it clear they're playing the starters. Why? Especially in offense. Did you see Nick Foles Monday night against the Raiders? Awful.
Not good.
He's got to play, and I think he'll play up to a half. And that's kind of, talking to coaches over the years, most say, no way I'm going to risk my starters getting hurt when a game that doesn't really mean anything for the playoffs. But each coach looks at it, what do my guys need? Do they need to play because they didn't play well the last couple weeks? So I think it's situational. There's no blanket statement anymore. It's kind of changed in recent years. And the other thing is, I talked to Joe Banner, the former Eagles and Browns president. He said they did a study on teams that rest starters. Let's say you have a first-round bye. So there's no information that says it's good or bad to rest starters, week 17.
Really?
And then obviously having the bye. He said they've gone back like 30 years. Joe and I talked this week about that. He said they studied it because the Eagles, when they were very successful, when Joe was with the Eagles, he said, look, we had this happen, whether we won the division or had a bye the first week. Resting starters or not resting starters has been absolutely nothing. So people think that there's some evidence that shows you need to rest starters. Doesn't compute.
Is rest injured guys, I think, like Fournette.
That's you have to, right.
Yeah, who do you like in the NFC? You got the Eagles at 13-2, but I don't buy into Foles.
I think it's wide open.
It is, and Carolina could actually win the division if they have to beat Atlanta and New Orleans has to lose.
I like the Saints. I think they have, with the running game.
New Orleans is at Tampa, by the way.
They can go on the road and win with that pretty salty defense.
They're more built for it now, yeah.
It's not the same New Orleans team, so I'll take Drew Brees over the other quarterbacks.
Yeah, I agree. In fact, I think the sixth team, though, that gets the NFC mark, I just don't know. Atlanta's not the same team that they were last year, especially in offense. The lack of explosive plays downfield. I don't know if they could go in and win Philly, but I think any of the other four teams could beat Philly, no question about it, though they have the number one seed. Carson Wentz, to me, I don't know how much you guys had seen him. He probably would have been my MVP candidate. He would have been number one for me. Him and Brady, to me, was both. I think it was either guy, but I was leaning towards Wentz before he got hurt. Now I've got three polls to vote in next week. I'm leaning towards Gurley over Brady, but I need to really think that through because it's generally a quarterback position that wins it. But you know what? The way that Gurley's played, and by the way, does coaching matter anymore? I mean, think about this. Think about what happened last year with Jeff Fisher and Rob Boris, who called the plays, and you get a real play caller. Coaching matters, and it always will. It's amazing what happens when you get real coaching.
Yeah.
Also, amazing what happens when your young quarterback gets a shot and Jared Goff and plays well. Deshaun Watson, I mean, we might be talking about the Texans in the playoffs right now or winning a division if Deshaun Watson had stayed healthy. We saw that JJ and Whitney Merciless mattered a little less. Now, granted, you had to get into the 30s, but that's what you were doing on a regular basis with Deshaun. Hey, a couple other things before we let you go. Mm-hmm. Dez Bryant. We were just talking about Dez Bryant. This is going to be three straight years without 1,000 yards receiving. His touchdown totals have really dropped. Now he's turning into a giant pain in the ass, and he's an expensive giant pain in the ass starting next year based on his his output. Do you see him taking a pay cut? And if not, I mean, why would Jerry keep him? You got to draft somebody.
Well, it's not like Dez is old, first of all. I mean, he's still talented, but he's not the same player from a speed performance standpoint. It's not like he's going to run in the 4.3s, but he was a guy that would get some separation and beat his man, and he's just not getting that. Now, what he said, it's scheme-based. It has nothing to do with him. The tape shows otherwise, but he also plays for them. He knows the play calls. This could be an interesting discussion. It's not like they're going to be in such a bad cap position that they have to cut his salary. But the fact of the matter is, Dez is not the same player. And these discussions are always tough. And they're an off-season discussion. And the other problem is, and teams have told me this, like if you're going to try to cut someone's pay, you got to be prepared to cut them if they say no. So, I and by the way, no one's even talked about Dez being asked to take a pay cut. But if, But I think it's just the rumor because his career, as you just outlined the last few years, has really regressed. But you know what? This season, the quarterback has regressed in Dallas. I think people need to talk about that, too.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it's one thing to play well your rookie year, but boxing is a chess match. I mean, football is a chess match, and it's also like boxing, counterpunching. When defensive coordinators do things to counter you, you have to be prepared, like in a chess match, what's your next counter to their counter going to be? And I haven't seen it from Dak Prescott yet. You know, some of it's on Jason Garrett, some of it's on Dez, some of it's on Dak. But if you have to have Ezekiel Elliott to be any good, then I would question how good you are as a quarterback. I mean, clearly a good running game makes you better, but they weren't total slappies running a football when Zeke was out. So, yeah, some of that is definitely on Dak Prescott without any question. Hey, Adam, we're gonna let you go. We definitely appreciate you jumping on and want to do that again sometime during the playoffs if you can join us as well. And, of course, if you get any scuttlebutt on Bill O'Brien, the Houston Texans coaching position, feel free to give us a shout, and we'll just put you right on the air.
Guys, you got it. Thank you.
All right, thanks. That's Adam Kaplan. You can follow him at Kaplan, at Adam Kaplan NFL. Let me make sure on Kaplan's Twitter account. Here, I'll get it for you real quick because I want to make sure you follow him. It's at Kaplan NFL, and very good NFL follow. You know who else is very good? Craig DeSurf. I don't know if I would follow him necessarily on Twitter. You might get some Little League baseball updates and things like that from Lamar Little League. But I do know that if you follow Craig DeSurf at Gulf Coast Buick Chevy GMC, you are going to get unbelievable offers and prices. How about this? If you want to get a great opportunity at upgrading your life, well, you can do that right now. On the Buick side, maybe it's time for you to get a new vehicle. Did you know they have offers going on like this? The spacious 2017 Buick Enclave featuring a quiet, tuned interior and three rows of available first-class seating for up to eight. The full-size luxury of the 2017 Buick LaCrosse, the Buick Cascadia convertible, sport-injected Buick Regal, and the 2017 Buick Envision, the midsize SUV that is an absolute joy to drive. These are all available for you. Ring in the holidays with Buick and get 20% below MSRP on all 2017 Buick Encore Essence models. And that can mean $6,176 on a 2017 Buick Essence Encore. You can take that amount off based on MSRP of $30,880. Whether it's an SUV, a crossover vehicle, a pickup truck, they've got you covered on all three fronts. And Craig DeSurf says, look, if my friends in Houston come out and see us out here in Angleton, I promise you, you will not leave here disappointed with price, service, or selection. And he makes that guarantee. And I tell you what, I'll co-sign Craig DeSurf because I've seen him do it for over a decade. Go to the website, gulfcoast.net.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Back here on the bench, 713-780-3776. Sometime do you wonder if anyone's listening, Dell? Since there's not, this isn't like a phone call station. Unless you do an info line.
You mean during Christmas week or just at all?
The Christmas week I'm talking about.
I don't wonder. I know no one's listening.
Watch this.
It's been pretty caller free.
I want to see if I can get the whole board lit up.
Well, Lance, do you think you've done much to invite people to call in?
Yeah, I've given a phone number out. I'm not going to beg for calls. I mean, we've had things to talk about. We talked about little people, Dez Bryant. I could sit. Truth be told, I could sit and have discussions about Tyrion Lannister, aka Peter Dinklage, versus Altuve versus. Chris and I spent about 15 minutes talking about how Muggsy Bogues is somewhere right now pissed off that Spud Webb got all the shine, even though Muggsy Bogues was 10 times a basketball player.
I'm going to promo something for my show
Go ahead.
Right now.
Go ahead.
Fire.
coming up. Well, you're leaving at 9:30 or so, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Coming up at 9:30, yeah. I'm going to want you guys to call in and tell me who your most hated family member is, because they were here, right, for Christmas?
Let's do most hated family member right here. Let's do that right here, guys.
Bit stealing clown.
You know what? I get no. All right, I'm just going to see. Just do me this favor if you're listening. You don't even have to talk. Just make our interns do something. 713-780-3776. If we don't get calls right now, then I know that no one's officially listening. I'll turn a microphone off and I'll just stop.
Huh.
I will just stop.
Novel concept.
You don't even have to get. It's just like it allows us to know that we're out here trying to entertain you.
Lance is insecure. He needs to know people are listening.
No, if not, I'm just going to use this as evidence
as
that we
Lance
don't need
time?
To do. Like, no, we just.
Oh, you're just going to send it off to someone and
we'll
say, hey,
just, hey,
there's no one
just,
listening.
Let's just shut it. Let's just shut it down next year after Christmas.
There it goes. Right,
Dell, don't you want me to do that?
Boys, lighten up.
Yeah, that. Sorry, can't do it.
People are listening, Dell.
Sorry.
See? Look at that.
That was your idea. I came back to work because I wanted to be here.
Did you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
that's good.
I didn't think I could have. I thought to myself,
you know what? I always think Dell, that guy's a worker bee.
I don't. Hey, this is. Hey, don't come at me like that. Hey, don't put that out there. All I'm saying is, I thought to myself, I want to be here the entire. I don't want to miss the entire week.
You're a team guy.
Because you know,
a gym rat.
Because at some
gym
point,
gym rat.
Yeah, exactly.
Gym rat Dell.
Exactly. Because I thought to myself, you know, the thought crossed my mind: if I took off the entire week,
gym rat Dell,
and if you include the Monday we're going to get off for New Year's, that would be that'd be like 9 to 10 yeah. days of straight no work.
And sounds
like,
awesome.
And I thought to myself, that's too much.
Too much.
That's yeah. too much.
Staycation.
Too much. Yeah, that's 10 days straight.
Yeah, I could it gets
go
old.
Pretty much anywhere I wanted to and then come back, still have time to get acclimated back to work. That's too much time. Mm-hmm. I want to come back for a couple days
yeah.
and get a 3-day weekend in.
That's not the way a gym rat thinks.
No.
No.
Dale's out there trying to get his free throws in.
That's right. Shoot my 1,000 jumpers.
Slide steps. Just trying to get a slide steps right.
Hey, man, if I got off this board for too long, I might forget what I'm doing.
That's right.
Yeah.
You got to keep it. You know what? It's like riding a bike, though. You should get right back on the board and push the buttons. You played karate by Kennedy yeah. right there. That's beautiful.
Steel sharpens steel.
That's what we told Lance about him coming back here. Hey, man, it ain't the soft place you left. You better come in here strong. Old body bags over there.
Same. Hey, Matt Canada, LSU offense coordinator got 1 year, and Ed Ogeron.
You're hard.
You gotta get out here, fire you. I gotta tell you, it doesn't surprise me that Ed Ogeron might be a little difficult to deal with. I'm just being honest. I could see that being a situation where Ed goes through about four offense coordinators.
Sure, where every sentence is finished with "Go Tigers."
You yeah,
know, that might get old.
Hey, let me tell you what. When they run the ball, go Tigers. What?
No more Go Tigers.
Do what Alabama's doing, Go Tigers. Okay. We'll do what Alabama's doing.
Do what Alabama do?
What Alabama do, Go Tigers. Like, what? This isn't being a good coach. You're just growling something about be Alabama, Go Tigers. That's not making anyone better. What the hell's wrong with you? Oh, let's get John in here and wants to talk about least liked family member.
Bit stealer.
Hey, John, how you doing? Thanks for calling in about hey, least like family member.
Thanks, Carlos Mencia.
Yeah, what's going on, guys? There are people listening, so maybe just a handful.
All right. We love
but,
you.
Yeah, so I'll tell you, this is probably the one thing that's been driving me nuts more than anything is the frickin' family dog. With the bad weather and it's mm-hmm. cold.
Gets inside.
And the little bastard won't go outside and pee and poop like he's supposed to.
Yep.
And all the smells of the cookies and the cakes and all the crap that's going on in the house and the holidays is making the guy a little extra excited. And he won't go out and do his business like he's supposed to. And then he'll do it on the carpet. And I want to murder him, except my wife would probably throw me out, too.
Yep, that's right. Dell, thanks for the call, John. See, that's the kind of stuff that you can expect on your show, hopefully, at 9:30.
That's a preview.
I was hoping for actual people because it's just a dog. But I get it. I got somebody who's actually a person. And we'll get to that in the next show.
Oh, you're not going to do it here, Dell?
No, I'm a no.
What about this one? I saw Jermaine and the phone boards were lit up yesterday. I walked
They're
in there.
They're talking
Tyler,
about fast food.
Hamburgers. You want to get food? Whataburger versus In-N-Out. Is Whataburger? It's the easiest. I
the
swear
old
to God.
Fast food debate.
If you go to a food topic, boards will stay lit during a hurricane. You'll get four calls on hold.
Man, I did a hate watch thing, and people were like, you know who I hate?
I hate watching Tom Brady. Hey, Fripp, I want him to lose. And people,
Dale, you got good topics that you save for your shows.
Yeah, because it's my show. It's my, when Raheel's not here and it's my show, then it becomes my show and I do what I like. When Raheel's here, it's kind of his show and I have to sit
back.
Yeah,
talk about Kanye and stuff.
Yeah, stuff like that. Yeah. Yeah. And
tight shoes.
And hype beast stuff, yeah.
Tight shoes, Kanye, and whatever his local grain is or whatever his Kenwood fish is.
It's Sawgrass Steaks.
Well,
don't hate on Sawgrass.
No, I ain't hating on
Sawgrass.
They came up.
You know what they did here, Chris? I didn't know this is a thing they do, and I was here for my first one.
Once a month,
they drop some steaks on you?
Oh, more than that. You start off with an artichoke spinach dip. Then they rolled, here's your bowl of baked potato soup.
Oh, they course it out.
Here is your steak filet Oscar. Here is your bread pudding.
Or your steamed pork chops, depending on what they want to give you.
It was
So they course it out?
Did you get pork chopped instead of steak?
I went with, I chose pork chop.
Yeah. It was like a tasting only with giant courses. Dell digs on swine.
Yeah, I had to make up for Raheel.
He got Raheel's pork chop.
Right in front of him.
Just eating.
Mmm. Pork chops taste good. 8:31 here on the bench. We'll jump back in. Look, we do have a couple calls. Jeff's got a call. Lamont's got a topic, so you know we can always roll it into Game of Thrones if we wanted to. It's 8:31 right here on the bench. Coming up at 9 o'clock, Dave Hardesty from Clutch Fans. We're going to talk a little bit of Rockets basketball with Dave, and we'll just do a little freestyle from a topic standpoint when we come back. Oh, Rockets have new jerseys. Yay! The city jerseys are out. I'm super excited. I was super excited seeing these other jerseys, these cool jerseys. And I said, I can't wait to get to the Rockets. What is the Rockets going to be? We'll tell you what the Rockets was when we come back.
ESPN 97.5.
Tom Herman and the Longhorns got a little salty yesterday in their win over Missouri. Drew Locke, quarterback from Missouri, who, by the way, he's got some talent now. He's got some arm talent, lightning quick release. I think he's going to end up being pretty good. But he was not that great yesterday. One touchdown, one interception. After a touchdown throw, he pretended to put on a jacket. He did a little jacket move. And it didn't sit well with the Longhorns because as the game wore on, they kept doing jacket moves too. Only when bad things would happen or good things would happen for them. And at the end of the game, Tom Herman was doing the old jacket move. At the end of the game, strutting down the...
Well, that's classy.
Some coaches will do that.
You think Saban would do a jacket move?
That's not one of the ones. Now, Ed Orgeron might.
Orgeron would. Dabo Sweeney probably
Kevin
would.
Kevin Sumlin would not have done it.
I don't think Saban would take pleasure in beating 7-5 Missouri like Texas
probably
did.
Probably not. Dabo, I don't think.
Dabo's won too much. I think he's at a point where he's not doing that.
Yeah,
he maybe so, but there was a point.
There was a time.
Yeah,
there was a time. But sometimes the salty head coach in college, it's probably going to be a younger coach usually who will do that. Saban's not really the put the jacket on type.
And apparently there's been some trash talk between both teams leading up to it.
I guess so, because
threw horns down. And Texas people, even players, current players on the team, retweeted what Tom Herman did when other people, like, The Missouri side was like, oh, real classy. And then Texas people were like, players, like, you shouldn't have thrown horns down. Who knew there was a rivalry between Texas and Missouri?
I had no idea there was until
old school Big 12 rivals.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what it is.
For years and years.
I know they played a lot.
Well, you know what DeLoss Dodd said? Hey, guys, when they left, Missouri left, he goes, guys, it's not that big a deal losing them. We think it's bad right now, but our worst years are better than Missouri's best years. I can see how that would ruffle some feathers at Missouri.
It's just DeLoss.
It felt like there was some.
Particularly following a
truth,
bad first year, Missouri went to two SEC title games, and Texas hasn't reached that same acclaim, but they're still Missouri. I get it.
That's that SEC East.
Well, Missouri does. They're kind of loaded on defense. Missouri has some really good defensive players. Like, I think Missouri's going to be. pretty tough next year if Drew Locke comes back. Let's, as a matter of fact, I would make them maybe a little sleeper to win the SEC East.
Kirby's like, huh? Really?
Georgia got that thing rolling.
Well, I know, I know. They're going to lose a bunch of.
I don't know if you saw the recruiting rankings.
Was it good for them?
Yeah, number one overall right now.
Was it really?
Yeah. Yes.
Oh, well. Maybe he's building Alabama East.
All
I don't
of a sudden,
know.
All of a sudden, Georgia can go into like the Northeast and pull guys. I wonder how that happened.
Let's get to
cash.
Let's get Lamont in here. What's going on, Lamont? How you doing this morning?
Hey, what's up, guys?
What's going on?
Lance, man, you've been unemployed for about 6 months or so, but there's topics out there, man. Fresh topics like what should we do with the Astrodome?
Okay, well, yeah, that's a good one. I like that one.
And then this one right here, and I'm surprised no one has picked up on it, but is Deshaun Watson elite?
Yeah, there's that one. There's also different Mount Rushmores we probably haven't touched on that we could get to if we wanted to.
Yeah, but seriously, I think days like this, man, vacation days, you can go off on you can go total list radio, and you can go from rap to food to
easily,
damn near any. Yeah, damn near anything. But, Lance, I did have a question for you guys, you two, Dale. Which would you rather be in, which would you rather be in? Salary cap hell or the position that the Texans are in with the draft right now?
Texans. Salary cap hell, super hard to get out of. I think, well, I don't know. Because sometimes you just have to fade 1 year of, like, no, because salary cap hell means you've got a guy on your – you got a guy that you're going to take a huge hit, like you just can't cut him, or maybe you've got a couple of them. So I think where the Texans are, because it's 1 year that you don't have draft, but you do have 3 third-round picks and you have free agency money.
Okay. I was looking at salary cap hell as if you're in salary cap hell, chances are most of your key positions are filled. Is that typically the case?
Well, if you're in salary cap hell, you're overpaying guys and it's too hard to get at. Like you're going to take big cap hits if you cut them, or like you've got a couple of bad contracts that you can't get out of because you just got into them and they will hit you too hard. So but some of what you're saying is true. I mean, sometime in salary cap hell, you've got a lot of times it's with older teams and more expensive players, so you not only are you in cap hell because your salary cap's not managed, a lot of times you're also older because older players are the more expensive players. So it can be a double whammy.
You know, as I was talking to you, man, I just started thinking about something. I guess salary cap hell will almost leave you. It's gonna go for like 2 or 3 years, where cap hell will be probably draft. In a draft position like we in, it's only like 1 year or something.
Well, think about this. I got one for you, Lamont. After 2011, the Texans had to pay Arian Foster, so they were in a cap situation. They had to let D'Amico Ryans and Eric Winston go. They never really fully recovered from a leadership standpoint from D'Amico and from the right tackle standpoint with Eric Winston, and that was all because of cap issues. They had to let those guys go. So sometimes cap hell is – it just, you know, you end up having to pay a guy that you hadn't been paying previously, things like that. Remember, Mike Brazel was gone. They lost him to the Raiders. Never did anything with the Raiders. They had to overpay Chris Myers to keep him because Green Bay was going after him. And the Texans, you know, they were never what they were in 11-12. You remember that, Lamont?
Oh, yeah, I remember that. And I also remember New Orleans and I think New Orleans and Dallas was going through it for a while. And it lasted for about 2 or 3 years. But that's what I want to ask, fellas, man. Merry Christmas to both of y'all, and have a happy new year. Chances are I'll call you back tomorrow and do the same thing.
All right, appreciate it, Lamont.
Sorry, Chris. No Merry Christmas for you. Sorry. Ain't nobody worried about you, Chris.
That's next year anyway. I'm all about happy new year.
No, we're just trying to get to a new year. We did see, I mentioned this, the city uniforms came out. The NBA is doing this. It's just a new way to sell uniforms.
Yeah, Nike's Cleveland's involved
got,
now, yeah.
Yeah, the land.
Oh, well,
and of course, fresh, Golden State. We've already seen the Bay or whatever. Mm-hmm. So you think, oh, it's going to be pretty
city.
Cool. Orlando's, yeah, the Orlando's pretty good, right, Dell? I saw Orlando.
Yeah,
there's
very,
some really cool ones.
Yeah, I like Orlando's probably the most. And then we get to the Houston Rockets.
Have you seen Chris? Have you seen any of these yet?
No.
Okay,
I'm gonna pull them up.
Yeah, I'm gonna pull this up and see what you think about this. Here are the city jerseys. and you can see some really cool ones, you know. And ESPN did a whole unveiling thing, and they're holding their LeBron jerseys that say the land, and it's yada yada yada. And here's the Grizzlies, and everyone's got these pretty cool jerseys. If I'm being honest, I think these are pretty cool jerseys. Memphis's has to do with the Civil Rights March, and Philadelphia's just says Phila.
Utah's got like an Astro thing going.
Yeah. Yeah,
they decided they didn't want to feature their mountains anymore or the Jazz, so they just went Utah.
Do you like this, Chris? What a brand new, fresh concept for the Rockets.
I've seen that one before.
It's basically, it's just Chinese lettering.
What does it say? Do you know?
It says best in the West.
It says best in the West?
Best in the West, Chinese lettering.
So they're lying to people?
Well, they will be when Chris Paul gets back.
Okay. We want to beat Golden State. Is that what it says?
We are obsessed with Golden State.
No, it says, please show up for a full series, James. And I know you think, oh, there's only two sets of letters, but they have a lot of meanings.
Do
in
you
those
think
letters.
It says Christmas pack still available?
It says we still have. Yes, it still says the twofer pack is going
to
be available.
Is specific to a player, like, because we wouldn't know. So does it say Elimination James on Harden's jersey?
You know what? And then, that'd be ballsy if Nike decided to throw something on there, like, because he's an Adidas guy, and they just put Elimination James in Chinese lettering on it.
Yeah. Chris that Paul says ballsy. Second round Chris.
What would they have for Eric Gordon?
Jim Rat? Yeah.
Ryan Anderson just says, road game Ryan.
I'm better on the road.
Road game Ryan?
Yeah.
Stuff Iron like that. Unkind.
They could do whatever they want.
Iron Unkind. Nene just says, no back-to-backs. Nope. Things like that.
On Capella's, it goes, I'm a max guy. You better pay me. You know that's happening at some point.
I don't like when the show devolves into how much you have to pay.
Oh, don't
Clint
you
Capella.
Worry. Capella will be your new DeAndre Jordan, where you're like, why are we paying this guy? Oh, yeah, because he dunks and plays good defense. How much are we going to pay him for that?
That's called being a big man. When do you not say that about your big man in the NBA anymore?
Just saying, you're going to be breaking off Clint Capella.
But honestly, this jersey, Chris, is there anything? You've seen this before,
it's
right?
It's a rehash of the jersey they've worn plenty.
Why do they keep sucking up to the Chinese lettering stuff? Yao's not here. Jeremy Lin's not here.
Yao is here. Yao Man
in spirit?
Lives forever. I'm surprised there's not like a little Yao Man logo on there.
Instead of Jumpman?
Yeah, Jumpman.
What would the Yao Man be?
Flat top.
That's what?
An eraser? An eraser? Maybe, top of an eraser?
Maybe slow on help side defense and
really
gets dunked on?
Giant legs.
Yeah, he had thick calves. He had super thick calves.
Tree trunks. Not a lot of elevation on the Yao Jumpman.
Not a lot of elevation. Maybe just his barely off the tiptoe jumper he would shoot, turnaround jumper. Yao was good, though. Yeah, I always found myself having to defend Yao against the anti-Yao people. That seems unfortunate. Why are like Houstonians?
Why would anybody
him?
Be anti-Yao? Just because he got hurt? Is that why we're anti-Yao?
Oh, no, there were a lot of people who just...
Just didn't like a big Chinese guy on their team?
I guess. I don't know, which seems stupid. I mean, he was a good big man. He was a good big man. There was a little time.
It was racism, Dell.
Oh, no, no.
It's
there
always
was,
racism.
Wait
Chris.
A minute. Wait a minute, Dell. Are you going to act like there wasn't a time? I don't know if you remember or how closely you're watching, but Kenny Smith, Stephen A. Smith, they were all freaking out whenever there was such a big European or international model of players that were coming in, and Stephen A is like, there's
shooting
so many
threes.
Great American players who you're drafting late. I never even, and this is even before the time that he railed on Porzingis as being
stretch
terrible.
Fours.
And, yeah.
That when the stretch fours started
were
coming in.
Now, there was a time when it got a little out of hand, but,
sure.
And that was in the mid 2000s. There was a
D'Antoni ball.
Yeah, you had too many international players who couldn't play, who they were bringing in, who didn't end up being. I mean, Gallinari, has he really turned out into the player you thought he would be?
Yeah, he's meh.
Meh. Yeah, exactly.
He had a little run, but that was it. But there was a time where there was like, yeah, why are you drafting this Chinese guy when you could be drafting Jason Williams? You could have drafted Amari Stoudemire. And even when he was playing, you could have had Amari Stoudemire was the talk. Yeah, I was a good player. Now the Rockets drafted Yao knowing full well he had these super high arches that were going to become a problem eventually. But you know what it became? A giant cash cow for years.
And 15 years later, they're still making money
off
of Yao.
Cashing it. You know how I know? Because there's Chinese lettering on their their Rockets jerseys.
So Chinese lettering represents, because the jerseys are called the city. They're supposed to represent the city.
Yeah.
So Chinese lettering represents Houston as a whole?
I mean,
I'm going to assume it says Houston Rockets, but my...
this does look like a rocket if I'm... I think this is...
It's not as funny.
Mandarin is not so good.
My Mandarin has been way off for the last
couple
of years.
You think Nike decided to be just like a person who does Chinese lettering on a tattoo and just writes anything
they
want?
They don't know what
they
it is.
They write anything they want just to screw with the person with the tattoo?
Truth is passion. Oh, okay. Okay, tattoo guy.
Dispose of properly.
Yeah, thanks for getting so deep on us on your inner forearm. I appreciate it. You should know what your Mandarin, and it shouldn't be some saying that you know that you think sounds deep, like one of Raheel's fake Raheel motivation.
If it just simply says "Go to China Garden"?
Yeah, I wish this was a commercial right now. I'd do a commercial for you.
Wow,
if I had that opportunity for you. Hey, listen, I don't get into the jerseys that much. I'm not really a jersey guy, but what I am is a basketball fan and a Rockets fan. I like the product on the court. I don't care. I'm not the guy who's can't wait to get this color jersey or that color jersey. I like seeing a good product. That's just me. I do like seeing a great brand of basketball, and that's what the Rockets have done. Clint Capella has been. The reason we're talking about Max Dollar Clint is because he's played great basketball, and he deserves to go to the NBA All-Star Game, and you got a chance to help send him there where he deserves to be. All you have to do is vote for him. Go on your social media, put the first name and last name, and then hashtag NBA vote. That's all you have to do. On Twitter, on Facebook, you can do it on the NBA mobile app. All of these give you the chance to vote for Chris Paul, James Harden, Eric Gordon, who's also deserving, Clint Capella. Let's get these guys all to the All-Star Game because they have played great basketball. You can vote at hashtag NBA vote. Make sure you put their name, and it's going to tag them right there on Facebook, on Twitter, on your social media. This is a great way to do it. For more information about how you can start voting for your Houston Rockets and get them to the All-Star Game, no matter what jerseys they're wearing, go to Rockets.com. They've got all the information, so follow the Rockets social media pages or go to Rockets.com. They've got all the voting information there, and let's get James and CP3 and Eric Gordon and Clint Capella. Let's make it a Rocket All-Star Game, and you can find out all the voting rules at Rockets.com.
This is how we do. We make a move and act a fool while we up in the club. This is how we do. Nobody do it like we do it, so show us some love. This is how we do.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.